You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Great concert, buddy.
Mike's Whalen coming with?
No, the Big Papa has the flu. I let him take my place.
Hey, let's go, buddy.
Okay, Reggie.
Hey, buddy, the best with your next gig in Moorhead. I wish I could be there.
All aboard.
Whalen, we'll see you real soon.
Bye-bye, Miss America.
Do you ever wish you could go back in time and change history like the day the music died? A sad day indeed. Perfection Auto Works can change your car's future by getting our free 26-point inspection. From those engine codes to those dangerous noises under the hood, Perfection Auto Works, 1046 North Beverly. Call today, 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Galleries saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon. Now, we begin our 33rd year of continuous political talk in Southern Arizona. Welcome to our show. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Well, it was the 15th ballot. Totally not reached since before the Civil War. Kevin McCarthy finally got the absolute majority of the votes necessary to be elected Speaker of the House of Representatives by a vote of 216 to 212. And, of course, it took forever. Since Tuesday, the California Republican had faced ongoing rebellion from the hard-right members of his party who did not trust him to sufficiently adhere to the conservative doctrine if given power. And after 3 days of vote after vote after vote and late-night negotiations inside the Capitol, McCarthy finally achieved the long-desired goal of wielding the Speaker's gavel. What does this mean for the Republican Party after what we have witnessed? I want to introduce you to Chris Ackerley. He's a former Republican member of the State House of Representatives. He's also the Chief Deputy Treasurer of Pima County. Chris, welcome to the show. I'm so glad to talk with you.
It's good to be back.
To describe you sufficiently and correctly, a traditional establishment Republican.
Define
yourself.
But I am a lifelong Republican, right? Registered Republican ever since I could vote. And have been in party politics. We just held the county organizing meeting this morning, left before the votes came in, so I can't tell you who the new leadership is, but was realizing that I think this is my 17th year in party politics.
Well, I have to ask you what your reaction was to this dramatic, historic event that we saw unfold with the House of Representatives and the Capitol.
Well, it was historic, as everybody knows by now. I mean, it hasn't happened since 1923 that it wasn't elected on the first ballot, and multiple ballots goes way back to the Civil War and before. But I don't know that the hype was made over the sky is falling is necessarily, as long as I have been in Republican politics, the first thing we start off with every meeting is a healthy, sometimes heated debate about the rules. And There are some personalities involved, but in reality, that's what this last week boiled down to. There were a group of Republicans who wanted rules changes. They did not want to be part of a top-down organization in the House that was merely there to take whatever the establishment charge was and necessarily play behind it. So they had a healthy debate about the rules. Now, there was some personal conflicts, I'm sure, involved, and I don't, you know, not being there, I couldn't comment on those. But we'll have to see next week what the rules actually say when they adopt a rules package next week for governing the House. Now, this leads to, you know, what could be some very contentious times, because in the now Speaker McCarthy giving concessions on the rules package, it means that individual members of the caucus have a lot more power to stall efforts or derail them. And so how he negotiates that over the coming 2 years is yet to be seen. But in the end, I think it's a healthy thing that more the members have more input, because obviously it was demanded of essentially the 6 to 20 people who held out their vote for him for speaker for a time. But it's going to benefit everybody in the caucus, and in fact everybody in the House, that individual members have more leverage.
Well, after 50 years of covering politics in Southern Arizona, I got to be somewhat of not a math expert like you. You taught math for how many years?
22 years.
22 years. No, I don't even hold your luggage when it comes to math. But for the Board of Supervisors, 3 is more than 2. For the City Council, 4 is more than 3. For the House of Representatives, it's 31 to 29. Now you have a very small majority. That's the majority. That is not a majority. It's a very small minority. Tell me about that math, if you will.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, and it extends to Arizona, because Arizona has, and they go into session next Monday, and there is a very, very slim majority for Republicans, one vote majority in both the House and the Senate, And again, they have a governor of an opposite party. So that dynamic that's going to play out at the national level is going to play out at the state level as well. And, you know, however you want to view it, the voters basically said, we want divided government.
I want to talk about Trump and the Republican Party in just a moment. Let me take a quick break and I'll come right back. We're with Chris Ackerley, who was a former member of the House of Representatives, a Republican. What now for the Republican Party after what we saw in Washington over the last 3 days? Back in a moment.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
With a cost-effective campaign, you can reach your customer over and over.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
Ackerley Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Create demand and grow your business with radio.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
If you want news and analysis of Arizona's increasingly unhinged state and local politics with a skeptical, fact-based, and progressive viewpoint, you should be reading blogforarizona.net. Blogfare Arizona is a thriving institution in Arizona's progressive politics for almost 20 years now. Blogfare Arizona has authors from across the state with extensive experience and insight into Arizona's political history and culture. Find us online at blogforarizona.net, as well as Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
From the Protection.org studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. My guest is Chris Ackerley, former member of the State House of Representatives, a Republican, part of the Republican Party, for, as he mentioned just a moment ago, 17 years. The one thing that bothers a lot of people, it bothers me and bothers a lot of Republicans that I've talked to as well, is these election deniers are a part of the very core of the opposition to the Kevin McCarthy speakership. How concerned are you about election deniers within the Republican Party?
Well, I think that name, we've sort of gotten stuck with it, but it's not the way I would look at it. Let's take a look at this. This last election, let's look at Arizona, because that's the one we're most familiar with, right? In the recount that happened for the attorney general's race, they found 800 more ballots in Pinal County that weren't counted when they did the original results. And then, of course, we go back and we look at the issues that occurred in Maricopa County where the ballots weren't scanning on election day. And so it created long lines and confusion and whatnot. So there are problems with our election process. And because those problems exist, one, those are the ones we know about. So there's lots of folks in my party who say, well, what don't we know about, right? And then there's the nagging suspicion that is the other side intentionally exploiting these weaknesses in our election system.
And when you're talking about the other side, you're talking about Democrats?
Democrats, yeah.
Are exploiting
The weaknesses in our election system. And so while I don't think from what I can see that there was necessarily massive fraud in the last election, there were problems and we don't know the extent of it. And I can't say for sure that the other side didn't exploit some of those weaknesses intentionally. I'm not suggesting it. What I'm suggesting is
exploiting is what your word was.
Yeah, exploiting. Okay. And I'm suggesting that because we don't know the extent of it, and our opponents on the other side say nothing to see here. Go on, fair and safe. Nothing to see here, right? And nobody is willing. And this is going to take consensus. I mean, in order to pass the things that we need to do to shore up our election system in Arizona, the biggest one being the fact that the way we structure the mail-in balloting is that voting takes 2 weeks. The ballot counting takes 2 weeks, right? I firmly believe that we should have a cutoff to say, mail-in ballots, okay, we're going to have mail-in ballots, but you have to have the mail-in ballots by time X so that they can go through the process of signature verification so that they're ready to count on election day. If you miss that deadline, right, then you vote at the polls. You still have an opportunity to vote at the polls, but you vote at the polls. And so the mail-in ballots are ready to count election day, the people who vote are ready to count on election day. So that process happens from start to finish without interruptions. And I'm not suggesting that you're necessarily going to know everything that night, but that process starts uninterrupted from start to finish. People can observe it. And so it endears confidence in the system. Now, the folks that would disagree with me will say, well, you're disenfranchising voters, because now what if they have to mail their ballot in? They don't make that cutoff. But the point being is there is a deadline for voting. It's the second Tuesday in November, right? You're just saying for mail-in ballots, the deadline is 4 days earlier.
Well, let me ask you, how far is it from those mistakes you say may have occurred to Donald Trump suggesting he really won the presidential election and Biden lost? I mean, you can start with, well, there's some problems with the election process. But how far do you go to say the election was stolen?
You're suggesting, too,
that Democrats have exploited mistakes
as if you would infer that they may perpetrate
a fraud on the election system.
I'm not accusing anybody of anything. What I'm saying is the problem is because we have these problems in our election system, I can't rule it out, right? Teaching physics and math for 20 years as I did, I'm a little bit of a nerd, and so I follow the logical pattern. And because I can't rule it out, right, I can't say for sure. But here's what I do know. When you look at these close races, right, I don't think that you don't have any way of knowing how it would have turned out, but you can't look at the close races in Arizona. And now that the recount has been done, the attorney general's race is 250 votes.
They just tore her in, by the way. She is the attorney general.
Yeah, okay. No, she is. And nobody's questioning that because she is the attorney general. But what I'm saying is you know that the issues that occurred in Maricopa County, there were probably at least 250, 500 people, right, who went on election day, saw the mess, and walked away and didn't participate in the system.
Were they Republican or Democrats?
We have no idea I can't say that how it would have turned out,
yeah.
But I can say that because of that, it would have definitely had an effect in this race. But this brings me to another point, because this is where the fix is, right?
What fix?
The fix for our political division is more than just the activists on the right and the activists on the left have to get truly involved in politics. They have to be informed. They have to show up to forums. They have to critically evaluate the candidates who are running and not just approach it from a this team, that team, as we go forward. Because our country, our state, our city, our county are facing some significant problems. And if we just do a this team, that team sort of approach, we're not going to solve those problems.
Well, I have to say that somewhere along the way, when you get into an election denier position, which so many Republicans are, and I'm suggesting that Carrie Lake, the Republican candidate for governor, as well as Fitchum, the candidate for Secretary of State, and others, you start really eroding faith in the entire system. And once that breaks down, then you've got a real problem. I'm not suggesting there's not mistakes. There may well be mistakes, and they need to be corrected. But when you begin the whole process of an election denier saying this is total fraud, we were robbed, we actually won. You know, I lost a race to rerun for the Senate for 86 votes. Here's what I learned about that. You win or you lose. You know, I mean, two people can't win the same contest. You just can't do that. Somebody has to lose. That's what the system says. That's what the system's all about. When I won, I won. When I lost, I lost. And you can't go back and say, it was a fraud. I really won. When there's no proof of that whatsoever, proof of that.
So I lost.
So, I mean, once you start eroding the faith in the entire system, it all starts to break down. And that's where we are in America, I believe. Go ahead.
No, and I think, like I said, more people being involved in the process. I gotta hand it to the Republican Party in Pima County, right? Because in Pima County, almost every one of the polls had county elections, the workers there are supposed to be an equal representation of Republicans
and Democrats
right? Sure. Yeah. And because Republicans are so outnumbered in Pima County, we have never had, at least not in my memory, ever had a full complement of election workers.
Right.
And this year,
You did.
We did. We had a full complement of election workers and a full complement of election observers to ensure that the process in Pima County worked. That has to be replicated across the system so that people, like you said, begin to have faith again in our electoral process.
Well, I think there's going to be changes to some of the things that we do when we obviously have problems like we've experienced. Mm-hmm. And they need to be fixed. There's no question about that. But once the election deniers become literally the voice of a great number of people and they start to just disavow the whole system, what other system are we going to have? How are you going to have a government if you don't elect them? You know, I mean, what do you got?
No, no. You're absolutely right. I mean, and one of the things, and it wasn't a state race, but, you know, my first association election race, I lost by 13 votes, and the prior chair got involved in the race, and I was really mad at her because, you know, I know that put the thumb on the scale, and that 13 votes, that hurt, right?
Sure.
And it wasn't fair, but at the end of the day, you're right. We have to find a way, but one of the things is we have to address the issues, and this is going to take a effort from both sides. And right now we're in a situation where we as Republicans know that while we would like to see same day voting for everybody, right? Go back to no mail in ballots, right? That's not going to happen.
No.
We know that's not going to happen.
It's not the preference of the people.
No, it's not the preference of the people.
All
it's
right.
not even the preference of those. But the other side has to engage in the conversation and recognize, because as we've seen, Maricopa and Pinal County, they had serious, serious issues, that there are issues that we have to solve and come together to solve those.
Chris Ackerley, good to talk with you.
Good
Thank
to be
you so
here.
Much. Congratulations
you so much.
On your position as deputy of the treasurer of Pima County.
Thank you.
And you're going to run for treasurer.
I'm going to run for treasurer in 2024.
Because Beth Ford is not running
years. She is retiring, yes.
And we would support you, by the way.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Michael Bryan is my guest next. Together, they brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite, and Guigny's French Cafe offers casual atmosphere, delightful French cuisine, and moderate prices. Dine in or dine out, Guigny's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffees, lattes, French wines, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have now become Tucson's destination to dine in or to take out.
The Trojan Greek War of the Bronze Age brought casualties to both sides in a compelling turn of events. Troilus, what is this huge horse-shaped idol that the Greeks have left outside our city gates?
It's a gift from the Greeks. I believe it's a sign of surrender.
Yes, and from whom?
General Achilles.
Achilles? I do not trust him. He's a heel. Why is the horse facing the opposite way? Do they think that I am a horse's...
General, never that.
I see that the Greek ships are departing by sea. I believe it's safe. Bring it into the city.
Open the gates!
Do you see what I see? Bodies. Soldiers dropping from the bottom of the horse. I told you we could not trust the Greeks. Trojans are always 100% safe.
Don't let the battle of car repair hide within the bounds of your vehicle. At Perfection Auto Works, our state-of-the-art equipment can find hidden problems fast. PerfectionAutoWorks.com.
From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Michael Bryan is with us. He is the founder of Blog for Arizona, the progressive blog in our state that the Washington Post calls the very best blog in all of Arizona. Michael, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, John. Always a pleasure to be here.
Well, you witnessed what I witnessed and what Chris Ackerley witnessed. Mr. Ackerley was suggesting that these minority people were just looking for some kind of strength in a position without clearly defining them, as I would define them, as just nutcases and bat dung crazies who are trying to destroy the government and not enhance their own particular political position toward anything good, in my opinion. So I guess we can all look at this with a different point of view, but that's mine, and what's yours?
We do. You know, first, let me address the issue of election integrity and the kind of reform and faith and credit that our elections need and deserve from our citizens. Your last guest intimated that, you know, what we need is participation by both sides. No, what we need is good faith participants in assuring the safety and security of our elections by both sides. And anybody on the GOP side now who actually comes at the issue from a place of integrity and expertise, say Stephen Richer, the Maricopa County recorder, or the whole board of supervisors who were, you know, 4 out of 5 GOP members, you know, they're attacked and fired and primaried by the GOP because election denial is tolerated and condoned and practiced by even those at the very top of the GOP. And that's the problem, is that there's no good faith on the right side of the spectrum anymore in terms of reforming and improving our elections. So, on to the so-called Freedom Caucus, what I call the Treason Caucus, which pulled this stunt, which, you know, caused an embarrassment to the United States world over that we haven't seen in over 100 years, you know, 15 ballots before we were able to actually select a speaker. Basically, the same people who planned and abetted the January 6, 2021 attack on our Capitol got control of the House on January 6, 2023, in my view.
Well, there's no question that they not only got control, they're going to keep control, because what is now apparently has been given by Kevin McCarthy will be used by this minority, this 10%, the 20 out of the 220, to literally get whatever the hell they want and to stop whatever the hell they don't want.
I don't think so, actually. I think these Treason Caucus people have made a big strategic error. You see, votes in Congress are fungible, which means that if they go ahead and make a motion to vacate, yeah, they can summon up to 20 votes, perhaps, in order to try and topple McCarthy. But that just puts McCarthy in a position where he's supposed to stay in his. Hakeem Jeffries demonstrated conclusively control of the Democratic caucus.
Michael, you're breaking up a little. You're breaking up a little bit. I'm not sure why. Is it on yourself? I don't know. Maybe readjust the phone
I'll
or something.
Try again.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
So basically, Hakeem Jeffries has demonstrated
better.
That he has 212 votes to deliver. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, I can. Much better. Thanks. So he's got the Democrats have 212. Okay, got it.
Yeah, they only have 20. So, you know, anytime they decide to try and take a stab at the speaker, you know, they're going to try and exact a price, yes. But the question is, will Democrats' price be more palatable to McCarthy? I can guarantee you the Democrats will be more reasonable in their demands in order to get their support for his continued speakership. So all the Treason Caucus has done is hand control of McCarthy's 2 years in office to Hakeem Jeffries. Because every time this comes up, you know McCarthy will go begging to Jeffries to get those votes if he doesn't want to meet the demands of the terrorists. Simple as that. So they've made an extremely large strategic blunder in terms of, you know, McCarthy keeping his seat. That's it. They made a huge blunder. But, you know, they did extract some rules that, for the House, this session of the House, the 118th Congress, that are pretty deplorable. So they got that. But whether they'll get more is highly doubtful, in my view.
It does not surprise you. It certainly does not surprise me that the 20 are those that don't believe in the election results whatsoever. They are election doubters and insurrectionists in many cases. So, I mean, take a look at this group, if you will. I mean, I know Andy Biggs from many years of following Andy Biggs. He's an absolute pathetic fool. But a smart one,
so
too.
So is Gosar, so is Crane.
And Gosar's bat dung crazy and always has been. Even his family knows that. I mean, look at the people we're dealing with here. You know, election deniers across the board, as well as insurrectionists.
The point that I'm trying to make, though, John, is that these people are not going to be in control. Hakeem Jeffries is going to be in control of whether or not McCarthy continues as speaker. You know, they can throw all the bombs they want. They can put up a vote, but most they can muster in their caucus is 20 votes. Hakeem Jeffries has 212. No matter what the treason caucus, Hakeem always bid them and underpriced them.
So what do you think this does, this view from where we all sat for the last 3 or 4 days, does for the Republican Party? It can't be positive. And let's talk about Trump now getting, again, the gratitude of the speaker after so much. Donald Trump is thanked for his support. Does this bring him back from the dead politically, really? I mean, or not?
No, I don't. Like I said, McCarthy understands a lot of this nonsense comes from Trump, comes from Trump's own election denial, from Trump's own attempted, and his partners in that crime that are in Congress right now, the Treason 20, or some people are calling them, or I call them the Treason Caucus. So, McCarthy is going to be very wary about making any concessions to these people going forward, especially when he can always get a better price from Democrats to keep his seat. What I think is going to have an ongoing impact is the rules, the changes to the 118th Congress rules that were made to get these people on board. Any handshake promises that were made behind the scenes, McCarthy won't honor. We know he's not an honorable man. We know that he'll renege on a deal at the drop of a dime. So those aren't worth the handshake that they used to seal those deals. That won't happen. He won't keep any of those promises. What he will keep is those things that are written in the rules. A couple of those things are like eliminating the crisis, the climate crisis committee. You know, they're doing away with the committee that's devoted to addressing the very real and present danger of climate change. It's gone. Congress is no longer looking at the issue. They're getting rid of the January 6th committee, of course. And what they're adding is propaganda. They're creating a committee on weaponizing federal power and discovering the underlying secret conspiracies regarding how COVID was spread and all the mistakes that were made by Trump, presumably, in addressing the crisis. So, you know, in exchange for addressing the climate crisis, addressing the very real crisis of our democracy, they're going to weaponize a couple of committees to pump out propaganda.
And then go after Biden and Biden family, too. There'll be committees with dead set on trying to destroy Joe Biden, and that goes on. But the debt ceiling and other particular issues are very important to the health and welfare of this country. What about those particular votes?
That will never happen. The default will never happen. Hakeem Jeffries won't let it happen. They can't hold McCarthy's speakership hostage to get that price of defaulting on our federal debt. It would cost us trillions of dollars. The full faith and credit of the United States would be destroyed. There would be a worldwide financial crisis as a result. They cannot extract that as a cost of McCarthy's speakership. Hakeem Jeffries won't allow it, period. Won't happen. So that worry, I think, is overblown. What they have done is they've made some changes in the way that Congress operates. Number one, the rules indicate you now have to have a three-quarters majority to pass any new tax. And if you want to make any expenditure whatsoever, any new expenditures, you have to cut somewhere else in order to offset it. So you can no longer tax in order to offset a cost. You have to cut in order to offset a cost. And you need three-quarters of Congress to approve of any new taxes. So that's the same kind of insane downward trajectory in state revenues that we have here in this state. And it has not worked out well for us. It will not work out well for the federal government. Also, they're going to do inflation analysis of any new spending. And they're going to have this fantasy scoring of the revenue and expenditure effects of any new spending 25 years out and 75 years out by the Congressional Budget Office. What that'll give them is ammunition for utter nonsense propaganda regarding any new spending, because any economist will tell you that a projection 25 or 75 years out is purely hypothetical. There's no real factual basis for it, because our economy, the way it works, changes so much over that long a time frame that any kind of projection of current trends into the future just, you know, comes up with nonsense. And they'll use that nonsense, and they'll say CBO says it. So these are the real problems that the Treason Caucus has injected into the process. Messing with our taxes, messing with our future, and lying about everything under the sun with official sanction. Those are the real costs.
Michael Bryan is my guest. He is a former prosecutor for the city of Tucson. He is the founder of the blog for Arizona, the progressive blog in the state of Arizona. The Washington Post calls the very best blog in Arizona. How does what we have witnessed on television and the dysfunction of the Republican Party play into the 2024 elections, do you think? Or does it play in at all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you have a once in a...
Hello?
The voters take notice. And so now the GOP brand is not only treason, coup plotting, conspiracy, election denying. It's also utter dysfunction when they get control of the House. And that's going to continue. The next 2 years are going to be chaotic and stupid, and not much is going to get done. And voters will notice. I think they'll hand the House right back to us in 24, especially since it'll be a presidential year. And we have an incumbent president. You know, he'll have coattails.
All right. Michael Bryan, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate your observations and hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for sharing part of yours with us. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, my man.
Michael Bryan, former city prosecutor, founder of Blog for Arizona. We'll be back in a moment with Joe D. The Democrats of Greater Tucson begin a new year after a huge successful year of 2022. We'll be talking with Joe D. from the Democrats of Greater Tucson following these messages from the Perfection.org studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Your radio commercial puts you front and center in the listener's attention span.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Ackerly Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Stir emotion, create demand, and grow your business with radio.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. The following is a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, who are responsible for the content of this broadcast segment. Here's Joe D., the new president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. Joe, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thank you, Jen. Really great to be here.
Well, you had a tremendous year last year. The midterms reflected not only your effort, but the effort of Democrats all across the country for some great victories. But what about 2023? Talk about what the Democrats of Greater Tucson will be trying to accomplish in this new year.
Right. We're having some great programs that are right up the alley of the elections coming up sooner than we would think, really, with 2023. We're going to be having this January 9th, the Pima County Recorder, Gabby Caceres Kelly, And we're really looking forward to hear all the good things about voting centers and how it all went here in Pima County. We also are going to be having a Drinking Democratically happy hour on January 18th at Brother John's Barbecue. We actually had elections for our board in December, and we created a strategic advisory committee. We're really trying to diversify our board, our membership, as well as engage folks. More and more, I think we need to be real smart how we work with the different ethnicities in Pima County and Greater Tucson and the whole state of Arizona.
You know, one of the things that I think people have found that is so convenient, all you do is just go on your computer or your phone or whatever and be a participant in the Democrats of Greater Tucson meetings that take place on Mondays. People didn't realize they could do that, but now they can. Please tell people how easy it is not only to be a spectator, but to be a participant.
No, great point. Great point, John. Well, all you have to do is go online to www.thedemocratsofgreatertucson.org, and you'll get all the information about who's going to be speaking. We always have a Monday program, except we take a couple weeks off around the holidays. But we've got some other great programs that are coming up that people are going to be really excited about listening to.
You know, one of the great things about the Democrats of Greater Tucson is not only can you take part in the coming event, but you can go back to the archives and take a look at what people have said so many weeks and even months before, and it becomes a whole really history of the politics of Southern Arizona from the Democratic perspective, because all those interviews are right in the fingertips of anybody that wants to watch them.
Yeah, you're right on the money, John. We really have a wonderful archives where you can go back. If you wanted to watch Adrian Fontes, our new Secretary of State, we have him. If you wanted to listen to the new state legislators in Legislative District 18, we have them. And we continue to do that recording. It's great. And you can actually be a member of the Democrats of Greater Tucson for $20. You can go to that same website, the Democrats of Greater Tucson.org, and you can activate your membership. You'll get all the emails, all the text messages, that, and you can come to events like Democrats of Drinking Democratically.
Okay, again, those two events coming up, you've got two events that you mentioned. Let's repeat those so people might be able to participate in that.
Absolutely. We have, we're presenting Gabby Caceres-Kelly, the Pima County Recorder, on January 9th at noon, and that's going to be a Zoom meeting, so you get a chance to participate visually as well. And then on January 18th at 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., we're going to be having a happy hour, Drinking Democratically, at Brother John's Barbecue. And that's on 1801 North Stone. So that's Wednesday, January 18th.
Well, I tell you, last year was a year of tremendous growth for the Democrats of Greater Tucson. It's been really such an enormous success. I know you follow in the footsteps of your former president and have picked up the mantle and carried it very well, a lot of people believe. And it's going to be a very challenging year and a very good year for the Democrats of Greater Tucson, because you've got a lot to build on, don't you?
Well, absolutely, John. And, you know, right now we have over 200 members, and we're going to be having a charge where we're going to see if we can't get 500 members by the end of the year. So we want to build on that base. We want to be able to help all our candidates. We've got a retreat coming up. We're going to be really looking at how we can help all candidates running, whether they're at the top of the ticket or at the bottom of the ticket. And again, we're going to be having that outreach to young people and all ethnicities, so we can truly, we can look like the folks that we want to help.
Thank you so much. Joe D., President of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. Thanks so much for being a part of the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Thank you, Mike Emery, for your sponsorship of our show. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Sleeping Beauty is a tale about a princess cursed by an evil aunt to sleep for 100 years before being awoken by a handsome prince.
Hey, bud, you know anything about a Sleeping Beauty around here somewhere?
Yeah, it's about a half mile over on the left.
Hey, thanks. There she is, and what a beauty. Oh, rats, the car died. Let me refer to the story. All right, a handsome prince, that's me, kisses the beautiful princess, that's her, and she comes back to life. I gotta do what I gotta do. Oh, yeah, baby.
You men are all alike. You love your cars more than us.
Hey, just chill. Take a nap. I'll come back for you.
I bet you're on your way to Perfection Auto Works. I think I love him.
At Perfection Auto Works, you may not find a handsome prince, but you will find ASC-certified mechanics, 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.